Father, we come before you. And Father, as we end this year in your word, I just pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would speak to every heart that is in this room this morning, every heart that is watching or may watch or listen later. Lord, you have things you want to say to us about your word and about who you are. And so, Lord, help us to see what you want us to see. Help us to hear your voice. And help us to open our hearts to the work you want to do through your word this morning. Would you bless this time, Lord? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So if you're new here, this will be new to you, but we have this phrase that we say a lot here at this church, which is read your Bible and pray every single day, and you'll be okay. And if you don't, you won't. Now, last week's sermon, we talked about prayer. Okay, we talked about the aspect of reading your Bible and praying. We talked about prayer, what it is, and how to pray, and all those things. Today, we're going to talk about the Bible. I'm going to make the case for the Bible this morning. Okay, that aspect of it, and why we should be reading our Bibles every day, and how that makes a difference in our lives. But now that I need you to turn to Psalm 119, I'm going to actually be in 2 Timothy for a second here. I just want to share some things for 2 Timothy. I like to do that. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to be here in a second. I just want to, as we get into Psalm 119, I want to kind of make some points to you. And so 2 Timothy is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, who was pastoring the church at Ephesus. And so, you know, when I read 2 Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy, and even Titus too, I think to myself, what could Paul have told these guys to pastor a church? And these are the things that he said. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says this, and he's talking to Timothy, he says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, 2 Timothy 3:14, and of knowing from whom you have learned them. He goes on, he says, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And what you learn earlier in 2 Timothy is that Timothy's grandmother and mother, Eunice and Lois, invested the word of God into young Timothy. And then many years later, the Apostle Paul shows up in Lystra, I believe where Timothy is from, and Paul preaches the gospel, Timothy gets saved, and with that foundation of the word of God, it's interesting. And so I would encourage you parents to put a foundation of God's word in your kids. Now, does that mean that if you do that, your kids are necessarily not going to stray? No, because we're all individuals. But we're called in the scripture to put that foundation. You don't have to be a theologian. You know, I used to, with my boys, is I used to read the word of God with them. We talk about it. They have questions. Verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That literally means all scripture is God-breathed, is profitable or beneficial or to your advantage for doctrine, that's teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And see, there's something that's important you must know. The Bible teaches about three things. Inspiration, we just said it. God, the word of God is God-breathed. It's infallible. That is, its inability to be wrong, so it's never wrong. And then thirdly, it's inerrant. There are no errors in it. That's what makes this absolute truth. And I want to lay that foundation as we get into Psalm 119. With that understanding, with that belief, if we believe that this is what the word of God is and says, then the question is, why don't we read it? So now we're in Psalm 119. So Psalm 119 is a psalm. It's 176 verses. The psalm, we're not sure who wrote it. Some scholars think it was King David. When will we know for sure? When we're in heaven, we can ask. But ultimately, who wrote it? The Holy Spirit wrote it. And so you could title this psalm, The Greatness and Glory of God's Word, or The Excellence of the Word of God. But one thing you're going to find as we go through this psalm, now look, what we're going to do is I'm going to read every verse, but we're going to camp out on some verses that God put on my heart to put emphasis on. And what you're going to find as you read through this is the psalmist is honest. He's honest with his life. You know, it's kind of apropos that we're doing this because I said during communion, examine your life. And so in a sense, as the psalmist wrote these verses down, some of these verses, he's examining his life in light of God's word. And keep in mind, there are 8 different words that he uses for the word of God in this psalm. He uses the word law, which is Torah in the Hebrew. He uses it 25 times. It means instruction or direction. He uses the word precept. It means a mandate or rule of personal conduct. He uses that 21 times. He uses the word commandments. That's used 22 times. And the idea of commandments is a command, its terms, its stipulations. Then he uses the word word. Now, there's two different words he uses for the word word. The Hebrew word devar, which means a verbal command of or a verbal command for action. He uses that 24 times. Then he uses another form of the Hebrew word. It's emara, and that means anything God has spoken. He uses that 14 times. He uses the word judgments, which means determinations or verdicts. He uses that 23 times. He uses the word statutes, which means regulations or something prescribed. You know, take two scriptures, call me in the morning, 21 times. And then lastly, he uses the term testimony, which is 14 times, and it's the idea of being a witness. Now, that's extra information if you're ever on Jeopardy. Just kidding, but seriously. The whole point of me saying that is, as you go through this psalm, all of those words he's using are pointing to what? God's word. God's word. So let's jump in. Verse 1, blessed or happy are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with his whole heart. And see, that's the thing about God. God doesn't want part of your heart. He wants all of your heart. That's what he's looking for. He goes on, they also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Verse 6, then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart. And when I learn your righteous judgments, I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. And now verse 9. And now verses 9, 10, and 11 are pretty famous verses. You may even have heard of them. I'll read them to you. How can a young man, or quite frankly, a young woman, cleanse his way by taking heed according to your word? With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. For your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And see, look, how do you deal with sin in your life? Well, here you go. Here are the verses right here. It says it right here. And see, as you're reading the word of God, and in particular, if you're reading this psalm here, God is ministering to your heart that, hey, how do you deal with sin in your life? He says, in other words, he's saying, how can a young man keep his way pure? That word for cleanse in the Hebrew means to make or keep pure. And he says, by taking heed, that is keeping according to your word. So keeping God's word. Keeping God's word cleanses you from sin. Remember in the Last Supper, Jesus says, you're clean by the word I've already spoken to you. Remember that? The word of God cleanses us from our sin. And then he says in verse 10, with my whole heart I have sought you. And see, here's something that's interesting. Half-hearted affection always leads to what? A wandering or going astray. I'll put you like this. I'm married, been married for almost 27 years to a wonderful woman, to my beautiful wife. That's how what her name is in my phone, beautiful wife. It's cool because then when the voice of the phone, beautiful wife, and then, you know, the ringtone and everything. She has a different ringtone than everybody else, too. Anyway, here's where I'm getting at here. You know, we got married. We've been married now for almost 27 years. If I had half-hearted affection for my wife, what do you think is going to happen to me? I'm going to wander. Is marriage easy? No. It takes hard work. But just like with this, with our relationship with God, it takes hard work. Look, you're going to get out of it as much as you put into it. See, these are the things that I can't do for you as a pastor, and we've talked about this before. These are things that you have to do. And so with my whole heart, I've sought you. Oh, let me not wander or go astray from your commandments. And then he says, your word I've hidden. That word for hidden in the Hebrew means to treasure in my heart that I might not sin against you. See, to treasure in your heart, it always starts on the inside. See, God works from the inside out. The world tries to work from the outside in. You understand that? Hopefully, as a believer, you've realized that over the years. As you've walked with the Lord, he always works internally to externally. See, we try to cover, because we try to do things externally to affect internally. It never works like that. That's religion. We don't want religion. We want a relationship with the living God. And he goes on in verse 12, "Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes." Isn't it funny? You know, the psalmist says, "Teach me." And we, for some reason, sometimes we think we can't say that to God. We can't say, "Hey, teach me." Why do we think that? Verse 13, "With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced," verse 14, "in the way of your testimonies. As much as in all riches, I will meditate on your precepts. I will contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes, and I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may see wondrous things from your law." Now, not just your law, your word. What a great verse to pray when you're about to read the Bible or you're about to study the Bible. "Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law." Glorious, wonderful. He goes on, verse 19, "I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. You rebuke the proud." That's something to remember. He corrects the proud. Don't be proud. "The cursed who stray from your commandments, remove me from reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes." And by the way, it's need to be said, meditation. Meditation, biblical meditation isn't, that's not biblical meditation. Biblical meditation simply means to think something over, over and over and over again. That's what it is. It's to consider something. So if you're reading the Bible on your own and a verse speaks to you in a sense, you think about that verse the rest of the day. You keep replaying it in your mind. That's meditation. That's biblical meditation. That's real meditation. It's actually a lost art, quite frankly, in the church to just sit down. Because here's why. Because we are so busy with life, we don't take the time to sit and open his word and just meditate upon what he's saying. My goodness, I'm telling you, if you want your life to change, then read your Bible. You're telling me it's that simple? Yeah, it's that simple. So as I talked about before, prayer is the easiest thing to do, but yet it's the hardest thing to do. The easiest thing to do is to open your Bible and read it, yet we don't do it. And then we wonder why our lives are screwed up. We wonder why we struggle, why we go astray, because we don't read God's word. But see, we'll read somebody's text. Can I just tell you, this is God's text to us. Don't ghost him. Read it. He goes on, verse 24, "Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." That's an interesting verse as well. Counselor. We all want to get counsel from somebody, right? How about the wonderful counselor? Who's the wonderful counselor? It's Jesus. Jesus has a lot of things to say to us in his word, doesn't he? So then why don't you just open it and read it? Verse 25, "My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have declared my ways and you answered me. Teach me your statutes." Verse 27, "Make me understand the way of your precepts so I may meditate on your wondrous works." Again, this verse is another great verse to pray as you're going to read your Bible or as you're going to study the word of God. Great verse to pray. Verse 28, "My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth." Verse 30, "Your judgments I have laid before you," or before me. "I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Do not put me to shame. I run the course of your commandments, for you enlarge my heart." Now, verse 33 through verse 40 is a tremendous section here. And you're going to see that the psalmist is going to say, "Teach me, give me, make me, incline my heart, turn away my eyes, turn away my reproach." All these things he's going to say. See, it's not wrong to say to the Lord, "Teach me." It's not wrong to the Lord to say, "Give me," as he says here in verse 34, "Give me understanding." We'll talk about that in a moment. "To make me walk in your ways." There's nothing wrong with that, but yet we don't do that. "Now, teach me, O Lord," verse 33, "the way of your statutes, and I shall keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. By the way, give me understanding. Oftentimes we get caught up in having all this knowledge. What does all this knowledge mean if we don't have understanding? Can I tell you, and I don't mean to sound harsh when I say this, we have the internet now, right? But we have more stupid people than we ever had before. Because we're not looking for understanding. Just give me all this knowledge. Well, what do you do with it? Verse 34. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Verse 35, make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart. Now, when he says incline there, the word means to long for, cause me to long for. So cause me to long for in my heart your testimonies and not to covetousness. Boy, that's a problem, isn't it, today in our culture? We all want our stuff, don't we? See, by wanting your stuff, what does it do? It distracts us. It takes our eyes off what's important. It takes our eyes off God. It takes our eyes off his word. That's why oftentimes we don't read. We're so busy trying to make money to keep our stuff or maintain our stuff or get new stuff, when in reality, really, we should be focused on the Lord. You want a New Year's resolution? Focus on the Lord. Read his word in 2025, and you'll be alive. Hey, I'm a rapper. I don't even know. All right. That's all extra information. Verse 38, establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. When he says fearing, now we talk, if you come on Wednesday night, we've gone through Psalms, we've gone through Proverbs. When it says the fear of the Lord, it's not like, oh no, it's God. It's like, whoa, it's God. There's a reverential fear of the Lord. Man, do we need that anymore. Verse 39, turn away my reproach, which I dread for your commandments. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped. I skipped 37. Sorry about that. I'm so excited, I skipped it. Okay, verse 37. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things or vain things and revive me in your way. And I'll read something to you about this, this idea of turn my eyes away. There are many things that have allurement, and yet if we look at them and follow them, they prove to be vain and worthless. The material possessions that seem to be so attractive never bring satisfaction. Relationships that seem alluring leave you with regret. So turn your eyes from looking at worthless things, things that are important. My goodness, that's such a problem today, isn't it?
Yes.
Again, verse 3, establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Verse 39, turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your commandments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me. That word for revive means to live, to renew. Revive me in your righteousness. Wow. He goes on, verse 41, let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So shall I have answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. Do you trust in God's word? Verse 43, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances. So shall I keep your law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. You want freedom in your life? Then walk in God's word. That brings freedom. That's real freedom. Verse 46, for I will speak of your testimonies also before kings, and I will not be ashamed. I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. Verse 48, my hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Verse 49, remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction. For your word, listen to what it says here, guys. For your word has given me life. My goodness. Think about what's being said here. Has given me comfort. The word comfort there is consolation. You ever been struggling? I have. We all do. And there are times where I've been struggling in my life. Sometimes I don't know what to do. It's so hard. And what happens is I open up the Word of God and I begin to read, and God ministers to my heart. It brings comfort to me. You know, we talked about this during communion. Do this in remembrance of me. Again, not only do we forget about communion, we forget what God says in his Word to us, don't we? We forget it. Isn't it funny, if you had a test to take the next day, you would study hard, you know, you take the test, you try to memorize things, and then you take the test, and then you're good, right? Well, look, the test of life. What would you do in a test? You'd study. You'd memorize. You'd spend time, right? That's what we're supposed to do with God's word. Verse 51, the proud have me in great derision, yet I do not turn aside from your law. I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Indignation has taken hold of me because of the wicked. Indignation, the idea is anger, who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. This has become mine because I kept your precepts. Now, verse 57, you are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words. I have entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. Verse 59, I thought about my ways. So he's thinking about his life. I thought about my ways. And look, this is what he does. And turn my feet to your testimonies. Do you know what he's saying right here? I've thought about my life. I've looked at my life. I've examined it. And so now what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn and walk in your ways. I'm going to turn and walk according to your word. That's what the psalmist is saying. Is that what God is saying to you this morning? Interesting. One interesting thing about this verse in verse 59 is we hear of the parable in Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son, right? What does he do? He takes his father's inheritance and he wanders off. He's prodigal means wasteful, right? Wasteful. He goes off and he wastes all the inheritance his father gave him. And at one point, he comes to the end of himself and realizes, wait a minute, in my father's house, I had food, I had blessing, so now I'm going to go back to my father's house. Some of you this morning need to hear that. Some of you have walked away for whatever reason, I don't know. But God knows, and God wants you to come back. He wants you to come home. He wants you to spend time with him again. Told you we'd go through the whole thing. We're almost there. Verse 60, I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have bound me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. I'm a companion of all those who fear you, of those who keep your precepts. Verse 64, the earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. Verse 65, you have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. Interesting, that word in the Hebrew for afflicted, it means being in a state of feeling anxiety and distress. We talked about this a few weeks ago in 1 Peter chapter 5. Anxiety is such a big problem today. But notice what he says here. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. See, no matter what we are going through, we should always ask God, what are you teaching me from this? And listen, I know that that's kind of hard, a hard thing to take, right? I don't know what's going on in your life right now. Some of you may have lost loved ones. Some of you may be struggling with addiction. I don't know. But here's my point. It's interesting how the psalmist makes this point. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. See, in those times when there's trouble, when we're afflicted, what are we supposed to do? We're to go to him. We're to go to him. We're to go back to him. That's what we're supposed to do. But again, we don't do that. We go to everything else. We'll go talk to our friends. We'll go talk to whoever. We'll go do this. We'll go drink. We'll do drugs. We'll whatever. We'll sleep with somebody. We'll do all those things. But we won't go back to him. See, sometimes things happen in our life. God allows certain things in our life to bring us back to him. Especially those of us who have been saved, who believe, or who were believers. He'll oftentimes will allow things in our life to bring us back to him, to remind you that when you taste of the Lord, it is awesome. Taste and see that the Lord is good, right? It's a reminder that he still is good. He's still there. He goes on, verse 68, you are good and do good. Do you believe that? That God is good, he does good? Do you believe that? Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. It is, listen to what he says in verse 71. And I can't say that I've arrived at this yet. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. If I'm being honest, I don't always say that. But what does he say? That I may learn of your statutes. See, when the Bible says that I will never leave you or forsake you, sometimes a test will come in life that he's going to prove that he will never leave you or forsake you. You understand? Verse 72, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Verse 73, your hands have made me and fashioned me. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Can I tell you, we have a problem in our culture today with identity crisis, don't we? Do you know who you are? You're a child of God. God has created you. That's who you are. You're not some hairless ape like evolution teaches. You are created human being by God. Okay, yes. Male, female, yes. Very clear in the scripture. But understand, your hands have made me and fashioned me. You know, it's like he took the time to fashion you, is my point. In Jeremiah, it says that before you were knit in your mother's womb, I knew you. That's what God says. See, your life isn't pointless. There is a purpose to your life. First and foremost, our number one thing, the reason you're created is to what? Have fellowship with God. To have fellowship with him. That is to worship him. And then here's what's even cooler. After you realize that you're to fellowship with God, you're to worship him, he's going to give you something to do. I can't tell you what that is, but he can. That's so neat. But God is my creator, our creator. And then notice he says, give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Not just about knowledge. Give me understanding, Lord. And if you ask him these things, he will give them to you. If you ask him. But you got to ask. Verse 74, those who fear you will be glad when they see me, because I've hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Huh, what a perspective, guys. What a perspective. Let, I pray, your merciful kindness be for comfort. Verse 76, according to your word to your servant, let your tender mercies come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood, but I will meditate on your precepts. You ever been mistreated in your life? What's the anecdote? Meditate upon God's word. Because when you meditate upon God's word is going to tell you who you are, who you really are, that he loves you, that he loves you, that he's there, that you're not alone. How many of us really do that? Verse 79, let those who fear you turn to me, those who know your testimonies. Verse 80, let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes, that I may be ashamed. Verse 81, my soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. My eyes fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me? For I have become like a wineskin in smoke, and yet I do not forget your statutes. Verse 84, how many are the days of your servant when you execute judgment on those who persecute me? You ever have that question? How long, Lord? Oh, he's going to do it. Justice will be served, but it's his time. In his way. Verse 85, the proud have dug pits for me, which is not according to your law. All your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me. Again, we talked about this. We talked about prayer. That's like a prayer. Help me. There's nothing wrong with saying, God, help me. That's the realest prayer than saying some flowery thing you don't mean. Help me. God, help me. I don't know what to do. I don't know what direction to take. Help me. It's that simple. Why do we make it that complicated and religious? Verse 87, they also made an end of me on earth, but I do not forsake your precepts. Verse 88, revive me. Give me life. Renew me according to your loving kindness so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. Wow. Then he says in verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." See, that speaks of the permanence of God's word. Think about that. This Bible that we have is from another world. It's from heaven. I've talked about this before. There are times where I've sat in my quiet time and I've been reading my word or reading the Bible here, and I feel like I'm in another world in a sense. Everything else has just gone away. It's faded away. And my focus is the word. My focus is the vertical of God's word with the Lord. It's been tremendous. Because see, if you have a vertical with the word of God, it's going to affect your horizontal, isn't it? Verse 90, "Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides." Your faithfulness. That word for faithfulness in the Hebrew is trustworthiness, steadfastness, steadiness. You know, and faithfulness is what? It's proven over time. It's proven over time. But God is faithful, and he's faithful to all generations. If you've been a Christian longer than a couple years, you can attest that God is faithful, can't you? Verse 91, "They continue this day according to your ordinances, for all are your servants. Verse 92, unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction." Verse 93, "I will never forget your precepts." I'm sorry, let me go back to verse 92, I apologize. "Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction." See, here's the problem. We focus on our affliction so much. If we, during our affliction, would go to him and we would continue to read God's word, to have that vertical relationship with him, my goodness, you're going to be okay. But we don't do that. Verse 93, "I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I'm yours, save me, for I've sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. I've seen the consummation of all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." Is God's word your meditation all the day? Or are you thinking about what you watched on Netflix the night before? Oh, I'm in the same boat, trust me. What are you thinking about during the day? We can fill our mind. See, here's the problem. We fill our mind with so much junk, with the music we listen to, with the movies we watch. Oh, come on, Pastor, really? Yeah, really, really. The dirt goes in, the dirt comes out. The word of God cleanses us. It renews our mind, as it says in Romans chapter 12. How do you renew your mind every day? You read his word. Verse 98, "You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies." Wow. For they are ever with me. "For I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation." If you're a young person, just try that with your teacher in school. I'm just kidding. Verse 100, "I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." Now, verse 105, this is a famous verse. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." When he says path there, the idea there is your course in life in a sense, right? See, not only does God's word inform us of his will, but as a light on a path in darkness, it shows us how to follow the right and avoid the wrong way. You know, in those days, they would have those little lamps. The lamps are like this big, and they would only burn a little bit, and they would only show enough light for you to take the next step. To take the next step. God's word is a lamp to our life. You don't know what to do? Go to God's word. Verse 106, "I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your judgments. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I pray, the freewill offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end." Verse 113, I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. I hate the double-minded. When he says double-minded there, the idea is somebody who is half and half. Are you half and half? Are you half in and half out? Do you have one foot in Jesus and one foot out? Are you a fence sitter? In 2025, go all the way in. Go all in. Can I tell you, when you go all the way in for the Lord and for his word, your life's never going to be the same. You're in for an adventure that's awesome. Verse 114, you are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers. Verse 115, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your word that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Hold me up, and I shall be safe, and I shall observe your statutes continually. You reject all those who stray from your statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. You put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. Verse 121, we're almost there. I've done justice and righteousness, and do not leave me to my oppressors. Be a surety for your servant for good. Do not let the proud oppress me. My eyes fail from seeking your salvation and your righteous word. Deal with your servant according to your mercy, and teach me your statutes. It's never wrong to ask for God's mercy. 125, I am your servant. Are you a servant? Give me understanding. Again, recurring theme, give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. Verse 126, it is time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as void. Therefore, I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold. Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right, I hate every false way. Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, and I longed of your commandments. Look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is towards those who love your name. Listen to what he says here in verse 33. Direct my steps by your word. Direct. Guide me. Establish. Keep me steady in a sense. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity, that is, let no sin have dominion, or let have no sin rule over me, is what he's saying. Redeem me, verse 134, from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. Rivers of water run down from my eyes, because men do not keep the law. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. Your testimonies which you have commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal has consumed me because my enemies have forgotten your word. Your word is very pure. In other words, your word is tried and it's refined. It's tried and true. That's what his word is. Therefore, your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delights. The righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. Verse 145, I cry out with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord. I keep your statutes. I cry out to you, save me, and I will keep your testimonies. I rise before the dawning of the morning. In other words, he gets up early in the morning, and I cry for help. And that word for help is to plead for relief. It's to cry out for help. Do you do that? I hope in your word. Verse 148, my eyes awake through the night watches that I meditate on your word. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. O Lord, revive me according to your justice. They draw near who follow after wickedness. They are far from your law. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Concerning your testimonies, I have known of the old that you have founded them forever. Consider my affliction and deliver me. What an honest statement, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not turn from your testimonies. I see the treacherous and disgusted because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The entirety of your word is truth. From Genesis to Revelation is truth. The entirety of God's word is true, so why don't we read the whole thing? And every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. We're almost there, guys. We're getting down the home stretch. You're probably sitting here going, oh my goodness, this is the longest sermon I've ever sat at. What is the point of this? Here's my point. If I believe that God's word is powerful, just by me reading the word to you and you listening to it or you following with me, that should be ministering to your heart right now.
Amen.
That's what we believe at this church anyway. Verse 161, princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law. Seven times a day I praise you, wow, because of your righteous judgments. Listen to what he says here. Great peace have those who love your law. You want peace in your life? Make the word of God a priority in your life. And nothing causes them to stumble. Lord, I hope for your salvation. I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Here we go. Last set of verses. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding. Again, the recurring theme, give me. Understanding according to your word. Let my supplication or personal prayers come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteous. Let your hand become my help, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise you, and let your judgments help me. And look how he ends this Psalm. I love the psalmist's honesty. He says, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant. And does Jesus do that in our life?
Yes.
Jesus is the great shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He loves his sheep. And when you begin to go astray, what does he do? He pursues you. I love the honesty here. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. I want to read you something. For those of you who are Bible students, you might know this name, Matthew Henry. Matthew Henry, the great 18th century Bible commentator, was introduced to Psalm 119 as a child. Listen to this. His father, Philip Henry, told his children to take one verse of Psalm 119 every morning to meditate on and thereby go through the entire psalm twice a year. Philip said to his children, "That will bring you to be in love with all the rest of Scripture." Perhaps that practice was why Matthew Henry loved the Bible so much that he wrote a commentary that is used to this day. What am I trying to get at with all this? What I'm trying to get at with you is if you want your life to change, then read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read it. Read it. We all have 20 copies on our shelves, don't we? Every different translation, every different situation, right? Look, we use New King James here, but if you have another translation, wonderful. Just read it. Just read it. Read your Bible. You want your life to change, read your Bible. Trust me. I was challenged to do that many years ago. And man, when I started reading the Bible, it has changed my life. It has changed my life. It reminds me of who he is. It reminds me of who he is and who I am. Who am I in light of him? It reminds me that he's faithful. It reminds me that he loves me. See, if he worked in the Old Testament, if he worked in the nation of Israel, if he did these things, he can do that in my life too. He can. When there seems to be an impossible situation, what happened? Remember in Exodus? They come to the beach. There's nowhere to go. And yeah, I believe, I'm a believer in God's word, so it actually happened. It's a real thing that he really did part the Red Sea and they really did walk through it. I believe that. I believe this book is alive. That's what I believe. That's why we teach it here. That's why it's emphasized here. Because I'm not, look, my cleverness and my coolness ain't gonna change you. It's this that's gonna change you. You understand that? You know, and we're entering in this new year. And you know, some of you have, look, and I'm not trying to negate your life. Sometimes things happen in your life, man. You have troubles, you have situations, you have issues. I get it. What about making God a priority in your life? What about making God a priority in your life? That's why I say read your Bible and pray every single day. And you'll be okay. And if you don't, you won't. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm living testimony of that. I'm living testimony. I cannot express to you. I don't even know how to say this to you. In my life, when I spend time with Him, when I pray and I'm in the Word, it's just, I don't, it's like an experience I can't even describe to you. And how it's changed my life. Ask my wife, I'm a different person than I was 26 years ago when we got married. And it's because of this. And yet it's readily available to every single one of you. And yet you don't read it. As your pastor, my prayer, my hope is I want you to experience God's word like I have. That's what I want for you. That's why it's so important to me. See, I actually believe that this is real. I actually believe that this is the only book that's alive. It's alive. I believe that Jesus is real. See, I don't know a whole lot about a lot of stuff, but here's what I know. Jesus is real. He is. God's real. And His word is true. And His word, He wants to change your life. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to have that vertical relationship so you affect that horizontal. But you got to do it. Amen? Let's pray. God, we come before You this morning again, and we just thank You for Your word. Lord, I know I went long, but you know, we needed to hear this. Lord, as we enter into this new year, Lord, I don't know what's going on in people's lives. You do. And so first, Lord, I ask if there's anyone here that does not know You, that has not surrendered their life to Christ, that is not born again. My prayer this morning is to themselves, they would say, Jesus, I believe that You're real. I believe and know that I'm a sinner. And I believe, Lord, that You died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and then on the third day raised again. So Jesus, I believe that. Will You forgive me of my sins and be the Lord of my life from this day forward? And if you've prayed that prayer this morning, come see me after the service. And then for the rest of us, Lord, some of us here this morning might have just, well, walked away. You've walked away. We used to know You. We used to spend time with You. Lord, would this be a reminder to them of how good You are and how wonderful You are? Would they come back today? Would they make You a priority again? Lord, may this be a reminder to all of us here this morning of how much You love us and how much You want to speak to us every day and how much Your word is alive. Your word is alive. So, Lord, make it alive in our hearts. Please, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.